Ephesians chapter 5. I want to talk to you about the church today. A lot of misunderstandings about the church, and we'll clear up a few of those right away this morning and then get into the lesson and talk about. Basically, I want to cover today the importance of the church in your life and the purpose of it and that sort of thing. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice there at verse number 25 this morning, Ephesians 5, verse 25. And I want you to notice in the context of this particular passage, it's talking about the relationship of husband and wife, parents and their children. But in this particular part of the passage, it's going to talk about husband and wife relationship. Now remember that because it's going to be important to what we're going to learn about the church today. Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 24, please, if you would. Ephesians 5, 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water, washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Isn't it interesting that in the context of husband-wife relationship, Jesus uses the church? That's an analogy that goes both ways. But if you consider this, the relationship of husband and wife, it's a relationship, as we'll talk about a little bit here, it's a relationship of commitment. It's a relationship of love. It's a relationship of dedication. Husbands loving their wives, it says in verse 25, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, before we get into the lesson about the church, let's clear up some misunderstanding. Hey, Brother Steve, you're getting populated over here. You notice that? As soon as he said something, folks showed up. Now you're all not all alone. That's good. Let's clear up some misunderstandings about the church. First of all, well, the church is just created by people. Hold your place here, but go to Matthew 16 and verse 18. I always do this when I do a lesson on the church here. Matthew 16 and verse 18. No, Jesus created the church. It's not man's idea. It's God's idea. You say, yeah, but Brother Johnson, I mean, after all, people have. I know what people have done to the church. There are 1,200 Christian denominations in America alone. 1,200 of them. A new one starts about every other day in this nation. So how do you know? I mean, the difference between all these things and churches, we'll cover the difference in a few minutes here. But anytime you want to study something in the Bible, you always go to place of first mention. And Matthew 16, 18 is the first place the church is ever mentioned. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus talking to the apostle Peter, he says this, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me see, where are you at? Brother Drew, let me use you for it. No, Joel, this would be even better. It's good. Keep him awake during Sunday school. Let me show you the simple difference between a Catholic church and a Baptist church, a Protestant church and a Baptist church, because Baptists are not Protestants. We weren't part of the Catholic Church and protested and came out. The original church was not the Catholic Church. Here's what happened. Sit over here, bud. Turn around. Get your hands out of your pockets. Peter never put his hands in his pockets. Okay. Here's the Apostle Peter, and here's Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Peter. So here's Jesus is talking to Peter one day, and he says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, to Catholics and Protestants, here's what they believe happened. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. That's why you go to the Vatican today, St. Peter's Square, St. Peter's Basilica. There's a huge statue of Peter there. You go inside the St. Peter's Basilica. I've been there. And there's a huge statue of Peter inside of that because they believe the first pope and the founding of the church was founded upon Peter and all his descendants. In fact, in the Vatican, you can go to a little room over here to the left side of it. It seats 95,000 people under the roofs there. You go over here to the left, there's a little doorway. You go on a staircase down underneath the Vatican, and all of the previous popes are buried there, and they say Peter's body is buried there also. But you have to understand, Catholic religion is big on relics. There's a church in the northern part of Italy has the skull of John the Baptist. And there's a church in the southern part of Italy has the skull of John the Baptist. Now, I know my Bible well enough to know John didn't have two heads. And when they asked him, what's the difference? They said the bigger one is when he was older and the smaller one was when he... And sadly, there's some people out here going, yeah, I get that. Okay, good, never mind. Anyway, when Jesus was talking to Peter that day, and at this moment, Jesus is founding the local New Testament church. Catholics and Protestants believe Jesus founded the church upon Peter, and thereby is the hierarchy and leadership of all the stuff that goes on in Catholic and Protestant churches. But here's what happened. He said, thou art Peter, and that word named Peter means a pebble or a little piece of stone. Thou art a little piece of stone. But Jesus said, upon this rock, that's a different rock altogether. It's a foundation rock. It's a foundation stone. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And biblically, what's correct is the church was founded upon Christ and by Christ. Now, that's a huge difference if you get the idea. That's why, for instance, Jesus started a church. He didn't start a denomination. Didn't start affiliation. Didn't start an association. He started a church, a local, visible assembly of blood-washed, water-baptized believers who preach the Bible and follow God's word. That's all he ever intended. He never intended this 1,200 denomination thing with all the hierarchy and leadership and all this stuff. You say, well, Brother Johnson, but we're a Baptist church. Okay, we are Baptist because of the name that was given us as Christians in the early days of the church. Okay, in Acts 11, it says that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The name Christian, we didn't even come up with that. That was given those people who were a lot like Jesus. That's what Christian means, like Christ ones. So the name Christian came from people who saw us and how we lived and said, you know, you guys are like that Jesus you talk about. By the way, that's the highest compliment you could ever be paid. Then some few centuries later, people who baptized by immersion after salvation were called baptizers or Anabaptists. And eventually the name Anna, which means before baptism or after baptism, after salvation, Anna, that prefix of Anna was dropped and they were just called Baptists. The name Baptist, we didn't invent that. That was given us by people who said, oh, you're the guys who immersed people, baptizers. So you see, the idea of us being this church here is a Baptist church, but it's Baptist by non-affiliation. We're not a part of a denominational group or anything like that. We're not a part of an affiliation, association, or anything. Here's the thing. These groups like this, even among Baptist people, they always go bad. And you'd think after a while people would figure it out and they say, look, since they always go bad, let's not have one. Let's just have a church. So Shasta Baptist Church is an independent, autonomous church. It stands on its own. There's nobody over the authority of this church except Jesus and that book. Our pastor leads us in this church, but it's an independent church completely. Because what did Jesus start? Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my, what? Church. Just a church. That's all. Thank you, Peter. Okay, so the idea that the church was founded by man, no. The churches of our day are man associated. By the way, you can follow these churches. You named it. I can tell you who is the person who founded it or headed it or started it up. All they have meant. But you can't say that about Baptist church. Yes, Jesus was baptized by John the... Okay, that's where the name came from that got stuck to us, which is fine. But the truth is, every other group has got some kind of man leadership to it, but not a local independent Baptist church. They have a pastor under the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. So no, church is not man's invention. The right kind of church was made by Jesus when he walked this earth 2,000 years ago. And you could go to Colossians 1, 16 to 18. You see he is the head of the church. Just like we go up here to Mount Shasta, and in the northern part of the town there, you'll find the start of the Sacramento River. People actually go up there and drink from there. Not smart. But that's where the Sacramento River starts and goes all the way to the Bay Area. but that's the headwaters of the Sacramento River. Jesus is the headwaters of the church. It started with him and exists because of him, and it continues because of him, and that sort of thing. So all churches know church is not started by man. Then the other misunderstanding is this. All churches are the same. I mean, there's not really any difference about these churches. Okay, biblically speaking, if you look at it, this analogy is what? A husband and a wife. We understand the concept of marriage, don't we? Right? A husband, a wife. A man, a woman. A man who stays a man. A woman who stays a woman. You have to get all that in there nowadays, okay? But it's a commitment of marriage between a man and a woman. So I'm married to some woman. No, I'm married to Patty Johnson, 50 years this past December. It's a commitment of marriage to one person, God willing, for the rest of life. So the idea that all churches are the same, well, you know, you can just go to any church. Well, I can't just go to any wife. Call my wife and say, babe, I won't be home a couple days, but don't worry, I'll be with somebody's wife. I don't think that'll work. Nor would it work the other direction. So you see the analogy of husband and wife, Jesus and the church, helps me to understand all churches are not the same. Everyone's husband is not the same. Everyone's wife is not the same. And the relationship, but the relationship is a relationship of commitment to each other. So the idea that I can just go to any old church, hang around, show up anytime I want, feel like it, that doesn't work in marriage, and it doesn't work with the church either. The idea is, so the other thing that's a misunderstanding about church is, yeah, but you shouldn't put a name on it. So that's why it's real popular today to have, you know, the grape, the rock, the tripling waters, you know, they got all these names, but they don't want to put church on the name. And the denture only puts Baptist on the name because what? But it's fascinating to me. People, look at me. Here's a simple understanding. How many of you, now stay with me on this point. How many of you have a name? You have a name. Would you put your little fat hand up in the air like that right there? You bunch of labelists. It's unbelievable how we buy clothes that way. We buy cars that way. You buy medicine like that. You don't go in the pharmacy and go, I tried that green one yesterday. No good. I'm going to try that yellow one, but I don't believe in labels. Yeah. Everything we do believes in labels. And one thing about a Baptist church that's a biblical church is labeled as a church. Even non-denominationalists will say, well, we're like a Baptist church. Well, then put Baptist on the sign. Quit stealing our stuff. I mean, be a Baptist, and that would be fine. No, you don't have to go be a Baptist to go to heaven. You'll just be a lot happier until you get there. Okay, let's look at verse number 25. I should have brought my books this morning. That might have helped you. Let's consider this morning. So the purpose of the church, I mean, is it just supposed to be there, a building we show up in, we get fried chicken every now and then and have potlucks and we kind of hang around? It's a place of social connection. It's become something today that's really kind of a glorified Costco. We just go there to get what we want and get out of there. But again, what's the analogy? A husband and a wife. What causes problems in marriages? People who are just there to get what they want out of marriage. No. So when it comes to church, what? Look at verse 25, Ephesians 5 again, please. Keep your Bible there. We're going to go through some scripture real quickly today. Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also. What's the next word, church? Do you see the devotion to a church? He loves it. Love is not a casual thing. Love is not really about an emotion. I don't think you can love somebody and not have some emotion attached there. I love you very much. I mean, I think there's a little more to it than that. But we understand love according to the Bible, and that word love is the right kind of love here. It's a one-way love, requires no return, no response. That's how Jesus loves this church. So then what should that mean to us? Too many are casual about their church. It's just something that they have in their life when they need something. Pastor, this church for 40 plus years, fascinating how people didn't want a church till they want to have a wedding. Of course, nowadays they don't do that anymore. They want to be married in a field or in a barn or out on a hilltop. Have your church, your wedding in a church. Is this working? I said, have your wedding in a church. You go to church. Now, I don't mean just any church. I mean your church. You who grew up in this church, you should have your wedding in a church, not in a field riding a horse across the meadow and people throwing stuff at you. Have your wedding in a church. But here's the thing. That has nothing to do with the lesson. That's a freebie. Jesus loved the church. And the thing is, the church will not and cannot save us. But the church should be something just like in marriage we are committed to. We are committed to a local New Testament Bible-believing church. Over these years, I've watched folks come here, and they enjoy the church, they like the church, but they're not getting in. They'll join Costco to get a 400-pound bag of potato chips, but they won't join it because they want to come get what they want, get up, go home. No. That's not how marriage works, and that's not how we're supposed to be committed to this church. And that's how Jesus loved the church. Now, that's something that speaks of a devotion to it. Just as a husband and wife are committed to each other in a lifetime of commitment, in a commitment that's a testimony to everybody. People see us as couples together, married couples. You know, we should have a devotion to a local New Testament church. And not this one this week and that one next week and another one the week after that one. I mean, the local New Testament church. So what does that mean? Just like you walk an aisle and commit yourself together to your spouse, you do the same with a church. You walk the aisle, you commit to a church, you join it, you become a part of that. You get in. Marriages don't work when people are half in, half out. They work because we're fully committed to that thing. And in our church, it should be the same way. We should say, okay, fine, I'm not using the church. I'm going to make it a part of my life and what I do. No, it does not save you. But the church, if Jesus loved it, I should love it. It's quite as simple as it should be. So it's a devotion principle. Well, I go when I can. Hold your place here in Hebrews 5. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Turn over there in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 10. I go when I can. You know, after all, I got to go to work on Monday. Monday's a long way off. Next Sunday is the Super Bowl. Millions upon millions of people are going to watch the Super Bowl. They're going to start 8 hours before the Super Bowl and watch all the pregame stuff before the Super Bowl. Most of your team's not even in there, especially if you're the Niners. Your team is not in there. But they'll watch 8 hours of pregame stuff, people talking about people who are going to play the game when they turn around and get around to playing the game. And all that stuff, commitment, billions of dollars are exchanged. Advertising companies will spend millions of dollars for a 30-second commercial and that kind of stuff. You say, well, yeah, but that's football, Pastor Johnson. Excuse me. Could you tell me, and you probably can, some of you guys are football nuts. So could you tell me who won the Super Bowl 35 years ago? Anybody? Seriously. Don't look it up. You think 35 years from now anyone's going to care who wins the Super Bowl next week? Okay, the point is this. We'll commit hours of our time, sit around and eat chicken wings until we clog every artery we have in our bodies to watch a football game. And then when it comes to church, we don't have time. I got to go to work tomorrow. No one's going to say that about the Super Bowl next Sunday. I can't watch it today. I got to go to work tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? But you say, well, but I don't have to go to church every time. Well, let's see this. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 22. And I want you to notice what I call the salad here. Watch this. Let us. See that? Let us. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. Hebrews 10, 22. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful, that promise. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Notice the end of verse 24. There is a colon there. That means open punctuation. That means the thought's continuing. How do we deal with those three things or avoid those three things? Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but only on Super Bowl Sunday. But exhorting one another, and watch, so much the, what's the next word, church? Uh-oh. So much the more as you see the day approaching. The assembling there, he's talking to Hebrew Christians. They understood the assembling as in the synagogue concept. In fact, that's the word for assembly, synagogue. He said, well, it doesn't mean we all go to the Jewish synagogue. It means they gathered every week. If there wasn't a regular synagogue for them, 8 or 10 of them would get together and start one. So he's just simply saying, don't forsake this, the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is. And then he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. You have to understand, hey, look at me. The early New Testament church met every day. Every day. Two people just passed out. They're going, wait a minute, I got to do this every day now. They met every day, every day. And until the third century of the church, if you missed a service every day, if you missed a service and you weren't sick or dead, they voted you out the next Sunday. We wouldn't even be able to have church on Sunday voting people out because they had toenail fungus and they couldn't get there, or Aunt Mary showed up at the last minute. You think about it. These people, they were dying for their faith, being slaughtered like animals, drugged to the streets until every inch of skin was ripped off their body, then tied to a stake and burnt to death. So to them, if you were a casual Christian, don't mess with us. Let's get serious about this thing. So the so much the more principle. But churches today, you know, the average church in Redding, California doesn't have church on Sunday night. Some of them have church on Friday nights or Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. There's churches today that have you go to a little auditorium and you sit there and a screen comes down. Everybody's sitting there sipping coffee and they watch this thing on the screen and get up and go home. That's the idea of church to a lot of people. Let's not get inconvenienced here. I mean, good night. Are you talking about Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? What kind of a cult are you people running over there? I got stuff to do. I got to be home and wash my cat. There's a thing to wash your cats. Porcelains. The house usually has one or two of them. Got a lid on them. Chuck them in there. Put your foot on the lid. Hit the handle a couple times. It comes out really clean. Aggravated, but clean. The truth of the matter is we got all these excuses why when it says we're supposed to be going more, not less. You understand? So we can't just say, if I'm committed to my church, I can't just say, well, all I have really time for is like to show up and make a presentation of myself on a Sunday morning and then go home, because after all, Sunday night I got to catch the reruns of Wheel of Fortune. I mean, but Jesus loved the church. The commitment there is a pretty strong commitment. And the idea is not to just treat it as something that I use for myself. It's something that I do. So no one holds to the truth of Scripture without a good local New Testament church to help them. That's what it says. Holding fast the profession of your faith. Doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're saved. You never have to darken the door of a church to go to heaven. You'll probably get there a little sooner than you figured. But the truth of the matter is, no, it has nothing to do with salvation. But look, you show me a Christian who used to be faithful to a church who, after being away from it, is now faithful to what they believed all along. Doesn't work. Church helps you to center and focus and get the, just like good marriage, you go home to your spouse, you close the door, put out the world, and you're home. And it just kind of centers you in your life, doesn't it? Okay, some of you are not having a good marriage. But the truth of the matter is, it does work like that. And the analogy is there. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5, please. So the church should be to us, we should be as devoted to the church as Jesus is. Then look, notice chapter 5, Ephesians 5 and verse 26. Now notice it says what he says about the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He loved the church, but you know what? He's still interested in what's going on in the church. Won't take the time this morning. You can go to Revelation chapter 1. It shows you what Jesus looks like now. His hair is white as wool. Okay. And that he's walking up and down in the midst of the churches and he's looking them over. In Revelation 2 and 3 is his report on what he saw in those churches. Listen now. Listen. See our pastor right here? This man has to live with the reality that every week Shasta Baptist Church is examined by the Lord Jesus Christ to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. And I'm very thankful after pastoring this church all these years now that he's taken and doing what God wants him to do and has stayed right on track. It's still a good independent fundamental soul winner, separated King James Bible, preaching hell, fire, and damnation, premillennial, pre-tribulation, temperamental, glock, carrying less, we can handle a 6-hour Big B Baptist Church. hadn't changed. If you're wondering, that's in the Constitution. The truth of the matter is, but here's the deal. But see, it doesn't. We don't have to answer to him. We have to answer to him. But he and I, you and I are going to answer what goes on here. And it says here what? That the, to the church, he wants to do three things. You see that in verse 26 and 27. That he might sanctify it, that he might cleanse it. And then verse number 27, that he might present it to himself. How do you cleanse a church? By the washing of water by the word. Why is a good church make much of the Bible? Look here. Not much of the worship teams. Not much of the presentation of things. Right? You go in some churches today, you think you're in a movie theater. Everything's dark. And then all of a sudden, here they come jamming for Jesus. Smoke machines, dance teams. It looks like a Hollywood presentation or a nightclub presentation of things. See, Brother Johnson, you're being critical. Are you picking up on that, Spanky? Listen to me carefully. Something's happened here with the church. Now, instead of being sanctifying it, to sanctify means you set it apart. We're not supposed to bring the world into the church. We're still supposed to have a church set apart from the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Come out from among them, 2 Corinthians 6, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He wants to sanctify the church. Well, in our minds, our church should be set apart in our thinking. It's not just something to us. It's not the most important thing on the planet. Jesus is. Our salvation, the Bible, our families. But the church is also a part of that. He said we should sanctify it. Then he said what? In the verse number 25, he said we should cleanse it. A Bible preaching, Bible teaching church keeps things clean and right. That doesn't mean everyone will do right. It does mean everyone will have that chance. Kind of hard to do when you're like the world, of the world, carnal like the world, everything from the world, and then you wonder why people act like they're from the world. Well, hello. You cleanse it. You come. Well, I don't like going to that church over there. I feel convicted. One man came years ago to our church in a few weeks, and he didn't come. Hadn't been in a while. I went to see him. I said, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "I'm not going back over there." I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Can I ask you why?" He said, "You're trying to change me." I said, "Guilty." Yeah, bud. We're not supposed to come. There's churches in town. On the sign it says, "Come as you are, stay as you are." No, we don't want to do that. No, we want to come as we are. Everyone's welcome. Everybody's welcome here. Everybody, every door, we got all kinds of doors to get in this place. But when you come in, you're going to get the word of God taught. But it cleanses us. Then it says in verse number 27 that his desire is that he wants to present that church to himself. A right church is set apart, cleanses itself, and desires to present itself to the Lord. We're not here to try to entertain you. But that's the popular church of our day, the entertainment church. Oh, I just love the music. What did the pastor say last week? Oh, I don't know. But that music, whoa. They jam for Jesus for an hour, and the little reverend gets up there after smoking on a cigarette to give you a little sermonette, and then you get up and go home. No, excuse me, that's not how it's supposed to work. The idea is he wants to present it to himself. That's verse number 27. To be presented to the Lord. The purpose of the church is to present the church to the Lord. I'm to choose a church that is more concerned with being presentable to Jesus than to man. Now look at me. There is no reason for this church to exist in this city. I've lived in this town almost 50 years now. And there's churches all over the place. I'm not against these other churches. They do what they do. That's their business. But I'm simply saying, there ain't a lot of churches like Shasta Baptist Church in Redding, California. We're actually crazy enough to sing hymns. And actually sing them like a hymn, not Amazing Grace. Peace out. Drop the microphone. It's fascinating. But I love the way we sing our hymns here. You know, I've been to churches before where it's Amazing Grace. And well, that'll put you to sleep. Okay, fine. It's crazy. We preach a King James Bible. We do. And if we had the time, and you will, in one of these basic lessons, I'm sure it'll be explained to you why we take the position that the Word of God for us in the English language today is in a King James Bible because of all the noise of all the versions. And there's hundreds of versions today that say the same, but they're not. Now, that's like a legal, you know, honest politician. This is not, that doesn't work. The truth is, no. See how this this church is unique. You know what I mean? We tell people, you know, be different even if you have to be unique. The truth is, we want a church that is, according to verse number 27, more interested in presenting a church today. We want to go home today and put a pillow on our head tonight and say, Jesus, I hope you were pleased with what we did today. Why do you think we run buses? Why do you think we go to the rescue mission, nursing homes, that kind of stuff, house to house, door to door? All that's in the Bible. We're just trying to emulate what Jesus told us to do. See this map of the world up here on the wall? We're a missions-minded church. We want to send the gospel to the four corners of this earth because he said, you go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of this earth. We're going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to feel that. Now, churches that are not missions-minded internalize. Then they're more concerned with a coffee set up in the foyer than they are with sending out people to get the gospel to the four corners of this earth. We're just trying to present a church to him. Does that mean we're not interested in you being cared for? And of course, absolutely. But that's not our primary purpose. The most popular church today is presentable to man, usually carnal or terribly formal, and both are unscriptural. Verse 27, Jesus wants a church. Do you see that? Present himself to a church. Notice what he's looking for. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How can a church be holy when it looks like a nightclub? How's that holy? Right? See, well, they just have a different form up. Wait a minute. Please listen to me. But if we're trying to present a church to Jesus, last time I checked it, he is God the Son. And God is holy. And the idea then should be our church should be a church that is holy, not holier than thou, holier than that. Okay? Holier than this world. Where we come and we go, okay, fine. It's ready to present itself a holy church. And then it says what? A church without spot to it, which simply means a clean or kept clean church. No, people, you're not going to find perfect Christians in this room. People have told me before, I'm looking for a perfect church. I always tell them, don't go there, you'll mess it up. And they don't exist. One day this kid at the college, I teach at Brother Trevor's College there, and he said, Brother John, single guy, obviously. He hands me a list. He said, 10 things he's looking for in a wife. 10 things. And I read his list. I said, well, first of all, son, that woman doesn't exist. I said, secondly, if you find one, don't marry her because you don't deserve a woman that's on this list. Believe me. You're going to find this is not a perfect church. You know what the problem with this church is? People. Yeah. And people are not perfect. We don't always do what we're supposed to do. We don't always say what we're supposed to say. Okay, so stop looking for perfection in a church. When it talks about a church that is without spot, it simply means a church that gets itself cleaned up. You get spot on your garment, you try to get it cleaned up. Well, that's what we try to do. We try to get ourselves cleaned up and ready to go back out there into this life and do what we're supposed to do. Without wrinkle, the Bible says. No wrinkle, people. No wrinkles. It means not concerned with tradition over scripture. Jesus said, your traditions make the word of God of no effect. But wait a minute. We do celebrate the 4th of July. That ain't in there. We celebrate birthdays, September the 12th, in case some of you new folks haven't been around here for a while. September the 12th. Pastor's birthday is important, but September the 12th is when Jesus was born and somebody else. Very important. We have certain, you don't know who that is, ask some folks around here, they'll tell you. And I take check, card, Venmo, and anything else you got your hands on, Cash App. The truth is, we're not hung up on tradition. We're not swinging incense pots and do that. We don't do that either. That means you're wrinkled by the world. Somebody's crumpled you up. No. We want to be clear of things and make sure we're following principle of Scripture in what we do. And then in verse 27, again it says, and holy and without blemish. How many times has he got to get across to us? Sanctified, holy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the church he wants. That's the church that needs to be presented to him. See, yeah, but Brother Johnson, if we would just kind of change a few things around here, I know we would get more people to come here. You know, the truth is we're trying to win every person we can to Christ. We want everyone to know, everyone is welcome here. Everybody is. People ask us, do you have a dress code in your church? Yes, we do. We ask you to wear clothes. Sometimes a little more than some what people put on, but okay, fine. We're not at the door going, that ain't enough. Go out of here. They have a dress code to go in the Vatican. You can't go in the Vatican. If you're not dressed properly, they wrap you in cloth to go in there. And then you go in there and there's all these naked statues and stuff. And I think, hey, put some cloth on that dude over there, man. I mean, good grief. Those little angels, they need a little hip on that side, that thing over there. But, you know, okay, fine. So, no. But we're not going to change what the Bible says or anything else to match what people are like, what like it, what they like and what they don't like. Look how many restaurants there are in Redding, California. We're getting more and more and more and more and more. And the only reason is because some people don't like this one, but they like that one. Well, that's what's going on with churches today. Well, I don't like this one. I care for that one. I like this one. No, how about this one? How about in the years that he's been here and the years that I've pastored this church, I've never had people come up to me and say, I'm looking for a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing, soul-winning, separated church. Not one time in 40 years. I'm looking for something that has things for red-headed buck-toothed people. Do you have basket weaving classes? When's your coffee fellowship? That kind of stuff. How about this? Let's have a church that's set apart for God, presentable to the Lord, honors his word, lifts up Jesus, and does what the Bible tells us a church is supposed to do, is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, start where you are and go from where you are to the four corners of this earth. And that's what we need to do, because churches that don't do that, churches that are not interested in soul winning and God, and missions, they internalize. Then they're only concerned with, what do you got for me? Everything's a me thing now. Me this, me, I get this. This entertains me. This keeps me. No, how about this? Let's please him and do what he wants. A glorious church presented to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, help us this morning. May a lesson on church help us today. To not be casual about our attitude about church. To not turn into grasshopper Baptists who just hop around different places. But get committed to a local New Testament church that lifts up Jesus and preaches the Word of God. Help us today, Father. Thank you for this church. I thank you for the faithfulness of the church and the people and the leadership. I pray that we'll stay faithful to you until Jesus comes. Bless what we have heard this morning, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor.
We're going to take an offering now. We do at the end of Sunday.